Animator Sally Cruikshank created ruthless credits for the film Ruthless People. Each actor's name which appeared on the screen came to a violent end. One was run over by a truck, one electrocuted in a pool, and another sucked into a tornado. Sally Cruikshank spends most of her time making her own short cartoons, starring her regular cast of oddball animals. Among that cast are Anita, a female duck who looks like Mae West but talks with a New Jersey accent, Quasi, her short, twerpy sidekick, and Snazzy, a lounge lizard. Her latest cartoon, Face Like a Frog, is featured in an animation festival called Streams of Consciousness. The festival is ending its first run at the Film Forum in New York and will tour nationally in a few months. The music for Face Like a Frog was written by Danny Elfman, who scored both Pee-wee Herman movies. Face Like a Frog takes place in a haunted house where a suave singing lizard issues the warning, "Don't go in the basement."
Oh! You can tell a dirty story in the old conservatory, but don't go in the basement. You can make a scene of the mezzanine, but don't go in the basement. You can fill yourself with static with ghosts up in the attic, but don't go in the basement. You can light yourself a torch on the old front porch, but don't go in the basement. Oh, you may think that it's real cool to ride down the banister like sundown cool. Oh, don't go in the basement.
Your song, Don't Go in the Basement, from Face Like a Frog, the song reminded me of how Max Fleischer used to use Cab Calloway and Louis Armstrong records in his cartoons.
When I first saw the Betty Boop cartoons, I was just so overwhelmed. I couldn't believe what a euphoric, crazy feeling they had. And that's definitely exactly what I'm trying to attain in my movies.
One more connection I'd like to make between your cartoons and some of the classic early cartoons is the sense of surrealism. In one of your cartoons, you know the expression she had, she looked at him with daggers in her eyes. So in one of your cartoons, when she gets angry, daggers literally come out of her eyes and aim at the guy she's angry at.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I liked being able to surprise people, just suddenly showing things that you would never expect to see. Open a door and anything can be behind it. Whatever you think would be funny or surprising.
Although your cartoons seem to have so much in common with early cartoons, your drawing style, your painting style, seems very, very contemporary to me. The really saturated colors that you use, the constant movement, things move at a much quicker pace, I think, in your cartoons than than they used to. Wild, clashing patterns. They're very busy, your cartoons.
Mm-hmm. I do like things that are detailed, and I like to keep it moving. I don't like any dull moment in a cartoon. To me, they don't move too fast, but I've had other people look at them and say, whoa, slow it down. they can't make sense of it going by so quickly. But the colors is partly an attribute of the paints that are available now. I love the bright colors. And to me, the really intense colors just add to the heightened mood, sort of the heightened, crazy, giddy feeling. And I like to explore that as much as I can.
Funding must be very hard for an animated feature or for a cartoon because it's very labor-intensive, it's very expensive to make, and it ends up being very short. Face Like a Frog, your latest feature, which is in the animation festival, that's 5 minutes long. How much money did it take to make it, and how much time?
It took about 3 years to make it. It took about $14,000, and it is just an overwhelmingly oppressive process that you get the idea and you have all these crazy ideas and you draw them up in 2 weeks and then several years later you're still trying to realize them through the complicated process of animation.
I guess you have to find an idea that you feel you're going to like for several years to come. Otherwise you're stuck animating an idea that you thought you liked but you grew tired with.
Well, that's really a problem because you're always going to grow tired of them. And when you finally finish it, you wonder what was ever going through your mind in the first place to make you write such a crazy story. But because the time just separates you from the original inspiration. But that's one of the unfortunate aspects, especially in independent animation. In the past, they could turn the cartoons out in about 2 months or 6 weeks. So you could have an idea, put it through the studio process, and there it would be on the screen, and then you'd start with another one. Whereas now, with a couple of years for every single idea or single storyline you've got, it attaches more importance to it than you may want to consider as you start one. In fact, you can't consider it or you'll never get started.
And it takes so long because you're working alone and not in a large group of animators for a studio?
Yeah, I'm doing most of the work myself, although all the coloring in work is done by other people. But I even hand ink them myself because I like I like a particular look of the line with hand inking, and it's hard to get it. Most people don't do that anymore.
Your cartoon Quasi's Cabaret is really a coming attraction for a longer feature that you'd like to do. The cartoon is a coming attraction to sell possible backers on the idea of investing in the longer version.
Quasi's Cabaret, an animated musical comedy extravaganza starring Quasi, Anita, and Snazzy.
I love the nightlife.
Together in Quasi's Cabaret, suave, sophisticated, shocking. So exciting it'll make you dizzy. Spills, thrills, and mystery. High-flying fun, it's Quasi's Cabaret.
How did you come up with this very novel idea to get backers?
Well, I was so frustrated with the slow production process on the shorts, and I was getting so much response to them. They were playing a lot as theatrical shorts, and I thought it was time to get a feature going, because actually a feature takes about the same length of time, although you just hire a whole lot of people and end up with a movie that's 80 minutes long instead of 8 minutes long. So I thought if I made a trailer as if the feature already existed, selling the attractions of this film, that might be the way to go to convince somebody to actually back the movie. Unfortunately, it didn't seem to work, but it was fun making the little short.
You didn't get any bites on it?
People were interested, but animation scares off most people with money. It's amazing that Roger Rabbit got made. They don't understand the process, and so that scares them, and they don't know. They have a hard time believing that adults are really going to enjoy animation, although, in fact, when you travel around doing animation shows, your audience is, I'd say, 90% adults and 10% kids that are dragged along.
You did the animation for one of the stories in Twilight Zone, the movie. It was the story directed by Joe Dante. The story is about a kid who could make any wish come true, and to punish a friend of his, he wishes her into cartoon land. Describe the kind of hell, the cartoon hell that you created for her.
The cartoon hell I put the girl in was quite nightmarish. That was the first time I really got to experiment with what I then went on to do in Face Like a Frog, of that sort of ultra intense, merry but disturbing kind of animation. It's so giddy you almost can't bear to look at it.
When did you start making cartoons yourself?
My last year in college, I made my first film, and which was 1971, and I've been doing it ever since.
Did you ever work on or consider working on Saturday morning TV, which is one of the places that cartoonists can find full-time work?
No, I hate Saturday morning television. I really don't see how my work could fit into that. This year, actually, somebody hired me to design some characters for a show they were trying to sell, but they thought it was too weird, so that was the end of that.
Where does an animator go? You've been doing your own works, 2 to 5 minute works. You'd like to do a feature, but you're having a lot of trouble getting funding for it. You don't like Saturday morning TV. What are the options for someone in your position?
Well, right now I'm fortunate to be doing some work for Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing three different little spots for them, three different songs. So it's a lot of fun because I'm actually animating to the music. It's really TV commercials or grants or just, putting together films on your own or teaching. I've never taught, but that's another thing people do to continue to make their films. But there isn't a real market for it, unfortunately. It isn't that there isn't exposure. They are seen on cable TV and there are festivals that come around, but they're not enough to support a person working at animation, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you very much for telling us a little bit about your work.
Oh, thank you.
Animator Sally Cruikshank, this is Fresh Air.